gentlemen, I'd like to bring the meeting to order, please. Is there anybody new here like to introduce themselves? Anybody at all? Okay. I suppose everybody's read the minutes. Have a motion for the minutes, or?
So moved.
Second.
Get that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll go to number 3A, staff reports, financial progress report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I could draw your attention to attachment 3A that was in the folders. That's our financial progress report, and that takes us through April 30th. So with this report, we're 2 months from the conclusion of the fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. And if you look down at the bottom of the table, we've gone through 62% of the budget, and we're well within budget, and I would request that you consider approving the financial progress report.
I'll move. And a motion on the floor. Could I have a second, please?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The motion passes. Go to 3B, technical progress report. Mr. Segedy again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the first things I wanted to do on our technical progress report, we did hire two new staff, and they're with us today. So if they could just raise their hands, Nathaniel Brugler and Jennifer Rose. So welcome to AMS. It's their third day on the job, the first policy committee meeting. A couple things that the staff is working on. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on some federal legislation, but a lot of that I'm going to cover in this presentation on the transportation funding. But as far as the staff work goes, our Connecting Communities initiative, that continues to move forward. There is a page up on our website now that has some of the maps that have been done as part of that initiative. And just to refresh your memory, Connecting Communities, main focus is to talk about integrating land use and transportation planning and trying to forge better pedestrian, bicycle, and transit connections. There will be a more permanent page on our new website that discusses that, but basically where we are with the initiative right now, we've been working with a working group. Mayor Lyons is on that working group from the policy committee, as well as some of the members of our technical advisory committee. That we're going to probably have a draft document in July, and then it will probably come to this committee for the first time in August for your review. And related to that initiative, we mentioned at one of the past meetings the idea of starting this planning grant program, which would basically be two $50,000 planning grants that would be made available to members. And what those would be used for is to do planning studies to look at projects which kind of promote that concept of integrating land use decisions and transportation planning. And our plan with that is to roll that program out around September. So around the time the Connecting Communities report comes to you, we'll start this pilot project. And what we thought we'd do is try the $250,000 grant, see if it's a program that you're interested in continuing, and then we may continue to put it into the work program in subsequent years. Some other MPOs have programs like that. They've been pretty well received and successful. Talking about the website for a second, we're well within developing it right now. Basically, the consultant's starting to build the guts of it. They've got all the cosmetic parts of it. I think it'll be a very nice, functional website. We should have a lot more information. It should be a lot easier for you as members to find. And I think it'll look pretty good, too. The address for it's going to just be amatsplanning.org. So if you punch that in right now, it'll actually redirect you to our existing website. And we expect to have that rolled out probably in July. And then one final announcement. The annual meeting we have scheduled for Friday, October 8th. And it will be at the Sheraton Suites in Cuyahoga Falls again. Right now, kind of working on probably doing a similar concept to what we had last year with a panel discussion and then a keynote speaker. And the agenda is pretty wide open right now, so if you have any suggestions on what you think would be good topics to cover at the meeting, please give me a call and let me know.
So that's October
8th. Yeah, it's a Friday.
Thank you.
And then finally, on the federal legislative side, you might have read, actually, a climate bill was introduced in the Senate last week by Senator Kerry and Lieberman. It had to do with greenhouse gases. We've been kind of monitoring that because that could have transportation funding ramifications. I'll cover some of those in this presentation that's coming up on the agenda. One of the stipulations of the bill would be to regulate MPOs in states to reduce greenhouse gases. From everything I've read right now, there's not a whole lot of chance this bill is going to gain traction right now, just because of all the other things that are going on in Congress. And originally, Senator Graham was a co-sponsor, and he pulled out of it, and there's been a lot of other congressional topics like immigration reform and this oil spill and things like that. So some of the things that could be a concern to MPOs, we're not too concerned about at this point, but we'll definitely continue to monitor it. And if you're interested, I can get you a copy of the draft bill. So with that concluded what I had to say on the progress. And if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Anybody? Any questions at all?
I have a question. Is this website going to be two-way? Does it just give out information, or is it the kind of website that you can send in comments?
Curtis, do you want to cover that a little? Maybe go up to the podium.
Yeah, I'll talk about that. The question is if it would be a two-way website, and the answer is yes. There will be we've got a whole page devoted to getting involved, which also allows users to send comments into AMATS and even kind of check off the types of subject matter that they'd be interested in receiving. So it's going to be quite, hopefully, very two-way instead of one-way. So.
And I think we floated out the idea of trying to put a blog that the staff would maintain out there, too, so people would be able to, we could post articles, people would be able to comment on those. And
can I answer your question, Mr. Walker?
I think it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go to 3C status with AMATS, sub-allocated federal funds. Mr. Butterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be referring to the funding program balances table in the folders at the door. It's a large sheet. Back in March 29, projects were approved for funding. We began having scope meetings on those projects where we get together with the project sponsors, as well as ODOT. And most of the time, we meet out at the project site to go over some of the finer details of the project. We begin having those. I think all of these projects are now programmed with ODOT. In other words, they all have project identification numbers, PID numbers, and that means they are now officially recognized by both ODOT and the feds. We hope to have these meetings, scope meetings, and conclude those probably by the end of the summer. Based on some of those meetings thus far, some of the projects will have to move into different years, and we start moving some of those projects either through things that you can see down on the table. And we'll do a resolution later on too. After we get all the projects, after we have all the scope meetings, have a better idea of where these projects fall, and then we'll have a resolution to put those projects officially in their proper year with amendment, TIP amendment. Down at the bottom, you can see our funding balances.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We're closing up on this year, 2010, here in a month and a half, the end of June. And we have a pretty large balance here in 2010. And the reason to that, the main two reasons that is some of these projects, as you can see, have been moved out in fiscal year 2011. And then also a good number of the projects that have sold this year that are awarded for construction did come in. The bids did come in under the estimates, and a couple of them were significantly under the estimates. And that's why we have that large balance there in 2010. But as you look, you can see that we're overspending for the next few years, and then out in 2015, we end up with a balance of about $3.6 million. Last thing to mention, the stimulus projects, all of them but one have sold. And based on those, again, these projects, they've been coming in under bids have been coming in under the estimate. And at this point, we have about 40,000 stimulus, or otherwise known as ARRA funds, that is coming back to AMS. And later on in the agenda, I have a resolution. We have a resolution that details how we're going to handle those funds within return. So that's all I had on this item. If anybody has any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. We'll go to old business. Do we have any old business at all? Anybody have any old business? I just want to thank everybody for getting into the open forum at our last meeting, and especially Mr. Coletta, Mr. Zetley, Mayor Prokop, and Mr. Palmer from Barberton, Morosi and Paradise. Mr. Paradise, we all discussed about some of the funding that we could get maybe from Ohio, from the state. And also we discussed about the gasoline tax at that time. Anybody else? Do you have any old business?
No.
Okay, new business. 5A transportation funding challenges. Mr. Segedy.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I mentioned earlier in the progress report, we had this presentation to talk about the federal gas tax as well as some other funding issues. And I think it's an issue right now that's really timely. Transportation policy and funding at the federal level is definitely in flux, and there are a lot of concerning things on the horizon with the long-term sustainability of those funds, as well as a lot of opportunities out there to shore up our infrastructure. But it's real important that we think about that and discuss this right now. So like I said, it's pretty timely, and what I'm going to do is just go through some information for you, and at the end of it, if you generally are in agreement with a lot of what I've presented, I'd ask the chairman to entertain a motion for the staff to prepare a resolution with some of these recommendations for our next meeting in August. Give you another chance to look at it, see if you agree, and then potentially pass something at that time. So this today is just background information for your consideration. Basically, what I wanted to do is talk about the current fiscal situation at the federal level, and that has to do with two things, spending and revenue, as all public policy and government programs do. Talk about some of the issues and concerns with the current fiscal situation, and then offer up a recommendation to you for your consideration, and then talk a little bit about where we could potentially go from here if there's interest. As far as background, generally transportation revenue, I know for some of you this is probably old hat, but maybe for others who aren't as familiar with the funding, I wanted to just mention the bulk of most transportation revenue comes from fuel taxes, both at the level levied at the federal and the state level. A lot of revenue also comes from license and vehicle registration fees. And then on the transit side, transportation revenue comes from sales taxes, which are typically in Ohio collected at the county level with a portion dedicated to public transit. And that varies by county. At the federal level, the fuel taxes go into what's called the Highway Trust Fund. That's used to fund both roads and public transportation. That's the funding that comes to AMATS, in addition to a lot of other entities that I've got up there. State DOTs, MPOs like AMATS, regional transit authorities, and then local governments, often in the form of earmarks, federal transportation funds will come directly to a recipient. At the state level, ODOT's situation is generally similar. Most of ODOT's budget comes from fuel taxes. ODOT does have some general revenue funds that they spend on public transportation as well. One thing that's critical right now with the funding situation, and I'll get into the details of this a little bit later, but the federal gasoline tax is getting to be a not real sustainable way of funding transportation. And we usually don't have test questions at AMATS, but I was curious if anybody knew what the federal gasoline tax was.
18.4.
Yeah, no, that's right. We've got, I hear 18 point, yeah, that's correct, 18.4 cents. And then does anybody know the last time that it was raised? Increased, I should say.
I
It was 1993. So it's been 17 years since it was increased. If you think about the United States transportation needs, we had about 40 million less Americans in 1993. Price of gas was around $1 a gallon. And there are quite a few things that have changed since that time. At the state level, the state gas tax is 28 cents a gallon, and that was raised a lot more recently. That was raised in 06. And what I also have up there, because 18.4 cents, 28 cents, it doesn't mean a whole lot of things to people, but what it translates to is at the federal level, you basically get $1.75 billion from one penny of gas tax every year. And at the state level, it's around $57 million. So that's the kind of funding that's generated. At the federal level, how the tax is actually split up, 15.4 cents of the 18.4 goes to roads and bridges, 2.86 cents goes to public transit, and that can only pay for capital costs. So that can go to buying buses. It can't go to day-to-day operations like buying fuel or paying staff or things like that. Like I mentioned, the federal tax has been static for 17 years. When you think about inflation and just the things I mentioned, like demographic changes and demand changes, we're definitely not having the same purchasing power of that fuel tax that we once did. At the state level, the state Ohio Constitution specifies that the state fuel tax can only be used for roads and bridges, so it doesn't go to transit. It's used primarily for preservation of the highway system, safety projects, and expanding the highway system where there's congestion. At the state level, and I'm sure at the end of this when we have discussion, Eric could speak to these issues a lot more articulately than I could, but generally, with ODOT's funding situation, their real revenue relative to the needs has definitely declined. Here locally, what that's been manifested in is some of the major projects that we were working on a couple years ago, like the Central Interchange. Those have been delayed. And the TRAC, which is ODOT's body that funds transportation projects, they've really had to drastically cut their program back the last couple years. One of the things I wanted to try to bring to your attention is really for most transportation experts out there, everyone sees that the existing system of funding is unsustainable. Something will have to be done to change it. Most recently, back in the fall, the Highway Trust Fund actually went broke, where it was paying out more money than it was taking in. The jobs bill that was just passed, the HIRE Act, that actually put an infusion of almost $20 billion into the trust fund. That was one of the first times that this has happened. ODOT, their business plan is projecting a potential $1.5 billion deficit by 2017. Obviously, it doesn't mean ODOT's going to run out of money, but that would be the amount of construction they would have to cut back on, other than what they had originally intended. And then a lot of the regional transit authorities across the state have been cutting service because of the, and a lot of this is all related as a exacerbating factor to the downturn in the economy. So basically, in Washington, there's two options. You can either cut spending or increase revenue or some combination thereof, or borrow more money, which is typically what happens. This graph, this shows basically the federal budget and where transportation fits in. The Department of Transportation is right about here. All these programs are ranked in order of the amount of spending. You can see down here at the bottom, these are the biggies: Social Security, Health and Human Services, Defense. The third biggest one is actually just the interest on the debt. So that gives you a kind of an order of magnitude of where transportation kind of fits into the whole federal program. If we look at things like cutting spending, basically what that would mean is local governments would most likely have to tighten their belts further, which, I don't have to tell any of you that belts are already pretty tight. Some of our infrastructure needs in our area, like the aging roads and bridges, You know, that would continue to be more of a problem. And then the transit systems with having to make service cuts, a lot of the low-income people that depend on transit, you know, would have further difficulty getting the jobs and things like that. I mentioned before how the Highway Trust Fund ran out of money last year. That was really the first time that's ever happened since 1956, so that's a pretty historic thing. And as I mentioned, it was augmented with money from the general fund, which really is the money that we borrow in the end from China, you know, as we do deficit spending. And where that sets kind of a bad precedent for transportation is, in one way, not to overstate it, we are almost dependent on borrowing money from other countries to fund our infrastructure. And in the past, the highway program and the transportation program has always been really self-sustaining with the fuel tax. And I know a lot of these dollar amounts I throw at you, after a while they don't start to really even mean anything, but that's a pretty big number at the bottom that the Congressional Budget Office has estimated, you know, $234 billion funding gap for transportation by 2015. This graph, what this is showing, this is the trust fund. Basically, the revenues and the outlays are on these two graphs. You can see ever since the early 80s, you know, especially here through the mid-90s, they're the same, basically, which is, that's a good fiscally sound program. The revenues and the outlays are the same. In the 90s, with the budget surplus, there was actually a good situation where the revenues were even outstripping the outlays. What you can see since then, and then especially when the fuel prices went up and then the economy started to tank, this is where the outlays start going up. And then down here at the bottom is in 09, that's where the trust fund actually went negative. So that's kind of the longer term trend. And one of the things I wanted to point out, this has a lot of philosophical presuppositions that you may or may not agree with, but if we do need better infrastructure, you know, basically the following points stem from that, that it does create jobs, it improves our economic competitiveness, having a good transportation system. Infrastructure obviously does cost money. Right now with our current system, the money comes from fuel taxes. There's not adequate tax revenue, so if we want to continue to spend transportation dollars at the same rate, raising the fuel taxes is about the only way we have to do it. We could discuss later at the end of this, there are definitely, I think, long-term ramifications why the fuel tax probably isn't the answer, but for a short-term fix, that's the current system that's out there. Some of the political impediments, a lot of people in Congress definitely know everything that I'm presenting here. One of the sticking points on the new transportation bill is because it really can't be enacted without somehow increasing the revenue. The administration and Congress right now are pretty resistant to raising taxes, which I totally understand. It's easy for me to sit here not being up for election in 2010 and say all this stuff, but that is at odds with a lot of the people in the transportation community that are looking at these issues. And actually, Congress commissioned a panel this past year to look at it. They did recommend a 10-cent per gallon increase in the fuel tax. And also a lot of diverse organizations out there, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the American Trucking Association, endorse the fuel tax increase. One thing that I looked at in putting this together was what the public perception, and I did a very non-scientific poll with friends and family members to see if anybody knew anything about the gas tax. That was a big no. Really, the average person, and this certainly isn't, I don't mean this as anything insulting, it just, there's no reason the average person would know a lot about the gas tax, but really the public doesn't have much of a perception of what it is, how it's used, when it was raised, things like that. This one poll that I found information from, 60% of the public believe that the gas tax is raised every year, but at the same time, 55% of the people believe our infrastructure is outdated, and 62% believe funding decisions are more often made on, quote, politics and the public good. So I would submit, I think, you know, based on numbers like these, that a lot of people, I think, would potentially support some sort of a tax increase if they understood what the money goes to, and then obviously the caveat would be if they feel like it's being spent wisely. Doing nothing is an alternative, but I don't think it's a very feasible alternative because local governments are going to continue to need transportation funding. One big problem especially at the MPO level that we would see with the idea of just continuing to transfer funding from other government programs into the trust fund would be, well, one, it doesn't really solve the problem, but two, I kind of alluded to this before, it does undermine that idea of one of the beauties of the gas tax has always been users pay for fuel, they use the transportation system. In that sense, it pays for itself. It's obviously still a tax, but one of the bigger things that would be an issue for AMATS and ODOT and other project implementers is if the transportation funding all of a sudden gets into open competition with other government programs, there's always a chance we put our TIP together, we give funding to your project in 2014, and then we realize 2014 comes and that money got diverted to the Defense Department or Health and Human Services or some other department. And so that kind of undermines what the trust fund was there. And almost done here, and then we can open this up for discussion. So what I was recommending was for your consideration is the idea of supporting an increase in the federal gas tax by 10 cents a gallon. That would be estimated to bring in around $20 billion in additional revenue per year. Another idea a lot of people have been recommending is to index the fuel tax to inflation. And then another one of the problems that's out there right now is the flexibility of that funding where it can be used for capital costs only for transit agencies, and a lot of them are struggling more with the operating side. The state gas tax, that was raised a couple years ago. You know, I think if a federal increase went forward, that would probably definitely help ODOT's budget. I'll leave it up to Eric maybe to speak for ODOT's perspective on that. One thing a lot of people have been talking about now that was an issue I wanted to bring up is with a lot of the support for public transportation, ODOT actually legally can't provide much funding support because of that prohibition in the state constitution. That goes back to 1947, and that's where the tax dollars would only be used for roads and bridges. This is one related issue, but on the transportation bill, I think another thing it would be good for our agency to consider supporting if we did a resolution of support for the increased revenue would be to make a statement to the congressional representatives and senators about the current federal transportation policy. One of the issues I see out there, it's kind of a schizophrenic policy. There's not really any sort of a national transportation plan. When you look at things that Washington does, we spend about 30% of the transportation budget on, it's not necessarily new highways, or adding new capacity to roads, but at the same time, we're spending $8 billion on high-speed rail. In some cases, I think we're spending money on adding the highway capacity in the same corridors as the high-speed rail. And so it's just, I think one reason for that is there's not a real strong vision. And the way that evolved is just, if you go back to 56 with the Interstate Highway Act, the USDOT had a very firm mission. We are going to build an interstate system. We are going to connect all the cities in the country with roads. It was a wildly successful program. It did a great job. But ever since then, when the system was completed in the 90s, the federal level is kind of just, you know, it's kind of floundered as far as what the vision would be. So this is my last slide. If, you know, I wanted to give all of you a chance to discuss these issues, see what you think. If you think any of this sounds like a good idea, one thing we could do is the staff could put together a resolution for the August meeting for your consideration that would be supporting some of these ideas like increasing the gas tax, providing more reliable revenue sources for you at local governments and for the regional transit authorities, and also for more flexibility, because I was actually talking to Mayor Jannad before the meeting. We were talking about some of the programs are so pigeonholed, it's difficult for local governments to flexibly use some of the funding, or you have to kind of cobble together multiple funding sources to put together a project. So, and then where we would go with this if we did do a resolution would be, I think that would be something that where the staff then could continue to follow up with, you know, getting that resolution out to our lawmakers at the state and federal level, and, you know, continuing to do things like our public involvement on letting people know about the issue. So with that, I am done talking, and I'll turn it over to the chairman for your consideration.
Yes, we'll go into the discussion. Go ahead, Mr. Mayor Curran, go ahead.
Question, Jason. Thank you very much for this most informative presentation. And I would suggest that you send your PowerPoint out to all of those that are members, because it's tough to write down all the facts and figures.
I'd be glad to.
My question is, what has been the history of increases, and when did they take place?
Prior to 1993?
Yeah, right now you say that that's the last one, but was the previous one 5 years beyond that? Was it one penny? What's the history?
I've got a graph with that. Unfortunately, I don't have it with me, but as I remember, I think there was an increase in during the first Bush administration, which would have been maybe around 89 or so, and I believe there was an increase under the Reagan administration before that.
No new taxes administrations.
Well, when I read the history, that was actually something that did cause Reagan a lot of problems, you know, on that increase. But it was one of those increases, a lot of what I read said a week later everybody forgot, you know, that it was increased. But I think throughout the 80s there were a series of, generally the increases, if I remember the chart, were maybe 2 or 3 cents a piece to get up to the 18 cents.
Because it makes it look like, you know, Congress has been derelict.
Chairman,
to allow it.
I'd like to request that the speakers speak so they can be heard on the other side of the room. I'm very interested in this discussion, and conversational tone won't work.
Okay, Mr. Waldrick.
All right,
thank you.
Speak
you noted.
Okay.
Mayor Curran.
Thank you. Simple speak up would have been all that was needed. What I would suggest is that it appears that since 1993 that Congress has been derelict in looking at these graphs of not attending to this matter. Is there any explanation thereof?
Not that I can really come up with.
We'll take that as a rhetorical question.
I think the one explanation would probably be the actual negative ramifications, where we actually went into deficits on transportation. That hasn't been until fairly recently. So I think the feeling was always there's enough money coming in. It's been more recently where we went into like a deficit situation.
Yeah, pretty quickly. Okay.
Then, Mr. Walker, last time the tax was raised, the Fed tax, was 1993. The question was, prior to that, how many times was the tax raised and what years?
I understand.
Okay. Discussion on anything? Any questions? Yes, sir?
Mr. Chairman, I speak in favor of the resolution that Jason had suggested. I mean, that it's has to, and I would encourage other members of the policy committee to support that. The further question, just to you, Jason, you indicated that 30% of their total budget is going towards highway improvements or expansions in comparison to $8 billion for public transit. What is the dollar amount of that 30% of the total budget?
That would roughly be around $12 to $15 billion, based on what's annually spent. One issue on that, for I think an area like our region or for Ohio especially, is a lot of it, the federal level, that funding of new beltways and things like that is disproportionately going to the Sun Belt, where there's a lot of growth. And what that means for our region is our needs are, we definitely have capacity needs, but our needs are more and more evolving to where they're more fixing the infrastructure we have, and that's one thing that could put our you know, our whole state at a little bit of a disadvantage.
We'll get some of those answers up to by the next meeting. Mr. Walker, you had a question?
In reading discussion of this, it seems to me that we're operating on the assumption that we're not going to change our habits in transportation. We're dealing with roads and bridges. And the fact we have to recognize that the state of Ohio has, over the past 10 years, cut its funding for public transit by 75%. And that the state of Ohio now stands at the rank of 40th among the states in terms of funding for public transit. I heard one little note in Jason's presentation that addressed public transit. You talked about the constitutional prohibition for state funds to be used for public transit, and that needed to be changed. When you advocate an increase in the gas tax, are you also advocating a constitutional change in terms of our funding for public transit? Is that also something that we need to be working on? It seems to me that the question of public transit is something that has to be addressed more seriously in the state of Ohio.
Personally, I would advocate the change in the Constitution. I think one of the things maybe for all of you to discuss is just, I wanted to put that issue out there for you to talk about, but if we follow up with the resolution, you can kind of decide how much you want to, you know, bite off, so to speak, and what this resolution would say. But that, my personal feeling why I say that is, I think it would be nice for the state to have the at least the ability to put some additional funding into transit. And from what I read about why that prohibition was originally put in, it was put in at a time right before the interstate system was built in 1947, and it was to shore up that funding so the roads... I mean, it's one of those things that it kind of made sense at that time, if that was the priority, to build the highway system, but... I would probably argue it has outlived its relevance.
Okay. Mayor Lyons.
Do I understand correctly that this resolution would be related to the federal gas tax, not
correct,
the state tax?
Correct.
At this point.
Right.
So we're not talking about advocating a change at this point in state funding. I think you also mentioned some flexibility issues in whatever you're going to put together in terms of giving more local flexibility. Is that flexibility with regard to roads and bridges as opposed to public transportation? Is that the type of flexibility you're talking about? What did you mean by that?
That's a real good question. Probably two types of flexibility. The first would be how I mentioned the federal transit funds right now, they can be used for capital expenditures only. So if a lot of times what ends up happening with federal programs is regional transit authorities will be in the position they don't have enough money to pay for their operating costs, but the only thing the feds can offer them is here's more money to go and buy buses. And for some of their operations, we don't need more buses, we need more money to actually pay the people to drive the buses we already have. So that'd be one kind of flexibility. The other kind would be more, and this has been talked about by some of, like, Congressman Oberstar and some of the people on the Transportation Committee. Right now, I think we have about 65 different federal programs for transportation as far as funding categories. And there's been talk about, I think on transit alone, there's something like 30 different programs that all have the different strings attached. And that would be the other kind of flexibility, maybe consolidating them. And I think what would be an advantage for a group even like our group here is then you on the policy committee would be a lot more empowered to make decisions on what projects money goes to, as opposed to having, obviously you need some sort of federal requirements and things like that, but it's gotten pretty put into silos over the years.
Well, I just add, I support the idea of putting together a resolution for the policy committee.
Speak up.
I support the idea of preparing a resolution for the policy committee's consideration.
Thank you, Mayor Lazar.
I guess a couple of questions. As this is a national kind of objective that you bring up, and we're just one city out of, or one area out of 16 in Ohio, have the other agencies talked about this? Or it would be consolidated submittal as a state to submit this to elected officials. You didn't really say who that was.
The other MPOs, you mean?
Right. And again, I guess the I defer to Eric a little bit here. Has there been any talk at the state level about, you know, encouraging this to happen, or is there an opinion even now?
There's been preliminary conversations, not to the level where we're talking about a specific plan. Everybody recognizes the problem.
Right.
Everybody in transportation knows that this is a big issue. They also know it's been put off because it's politically not popular. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I like where you're going with this, Ralph, because I think one resolution coming from one MPO, as good as the intentions are, might not make a wave, okay? If your MPO association, I'm not quite sure what the name of it is, were to talk, you know, about doing something. But the other thing is, we're talking about an issue here that bridges the traditional Republican-Democrat here. And that's what it turns into, and it's bigger than that. And I think it's such a big issue, and it's of such importance to this whole country, not just Ohio, not just Pennsylvania, not just Nevada, but that we need to talk about approaching this to the politicians, you know, so that, you know, we talk about bipartisan. I think this is just a perfect example of what we could do bipartisan and get out of the politics, the name-calling, and that's what's holding this whole thing up. I've not talked to anybody, mayors, township trustees, obviously the director, the governor. Everybody knows the need for this. They all admit that. But they're all afraid, you know, the Congress is afraid to touch it because it's going to be used, you know, against them and all this other stuff. So I think we need to be looking bigger, quite frankly.
I think that's a good comment, and to address your question, Ralph, I actually asked a couple people, even at the national level, if they were aware of MPOs passing resolutions like this. Or I think, like Eric said, a lot of people have started talking about it. OARC, which is our group of all the MPOs, we're going to have a meeting next week. I am going to put on the agenda to talk about this and kind of bring back to them what you guys talked about here today, and float out the idea of maybe having more of a unified front between...
Bring that same zeal that you brought against the railroad to this.
Me or OARC?
But I would argue that also that if we have an opinion, even if it's insignificant, we should express it. I don't have any illusions that what we might pass might be of any significance. But at the same time, if they hear this from not just large organizations, if they hear it from grassroots organizations, I think that has some significance.
Absolutely.
And so, just to add.
And I think, just to get just a little more specific, I think if you look in the last 3 years, is all I'm familiar with, ODOT has started to position itself with a different business plan. We're starting to talk about different types of transportation. We have taken those steps at ODOT as a department, cutting back budgets, you know, operating budgets, taking that money and putting it into major new. So we're not cutting off projects. You know what I'm saying? We still have to maintain, as you well know. And here's a department that's operating at a 30-year low in staffing and almost a 33% increase in projects. I mean, it's unprecedented, you know. And so I think speaking again for Ohio, I think, you know, we're doing the right things. You know, we're going to do a tolling study. Now, that's not a popular thing, but you know what? It's a, I think, a responsible thing to at least look at another revenue source. And we can see our neighbors to the east, you know, they keep getting turned down. I use 80 a lot, so I hope they don't do that. But I think that I think at least ODOT is looking at different revenue sources. They're looking at this, I think, in a responsible way. It's a difficult thing. You mentioned the central interchange, and I'll just quickly talk about that. Ralph got his pen out and his paper, and he's ready. everyone recognizes that that's a major, major project, and it is a little bit stalled. I'm not saying it stopped, but the fact is we just don't have construction money for that whole thing. So what we've done, and again, I think very responsibly, is to take it and break it down into smaller projects based on the critical need of a bridge or whatever, and then with funding. So certainly we don't want the situation they have up in downtown Cleveland right now with the bridge. We don't want it to get to that point. I don't think that it will, but I'm just saying that the central interchange is a good example. There's a need. There's not $400 million, you know, to turn loose on it.
Couldn't we make the request, too?
Oh, as far as what I mentioned about would be transmitted to... Well, one of the ideas I had on why, and kind of to echo what Mayor Lyons said, why I think it would still be good to speak as a body is our intention would be to transmit it to our congressional delegation in Ohio and to Senator Brown and Senator Voinovich, and then go with a cover letter saying this is, you know, the elected officials in the Akron area got together, they felt like this was important, because I think what that would do, even though we're just one region, although I'd say we're the best region, but it would allow, I think it would allow the congressional representatives to realize that there are people at the local level that are concerned about the issue. And, you know, that, I think, could prompt them to act, you know, where otherwise, if they don't hear from us, they don't think anybody's paying attention, potentially.
Have you had any preliminary discussions with any of our congressional membership?
I did talk to Senator Voinovich's staff, and the senator actually supports the idea of a gas tax.
This year, so.
And I talked to Representative Ryan's staff actually this morning, and they were very supportive of the general idea and, you know, the whole need for infrastructure funding. They definitely were aware of that and thought it was good we were going to be talking about this.
Mr. Hanson.
You've never mentioned anything about the change in the mile per gallon standards that's coming. But I would think that would have a huge impact on what we're collecting, and that 10 cents you recommended may not be enough in the very near term, because I think that's like a five-year phase-in. So that would have a tremendous... I mean, you're going to use the roads more, the bridges and the transit, and you're not going to have the revenues coming in to offset the mileages. So I think that's a huge thing to consider. You might want to... about that a little bit.
That's a good point. And there's been a lot of things I've read even that have said the longer term prospect, the gas tax just becomes problematic if you go out 15 years or so because of all the alternative fuel vehicles. It could, and then we would almost be in this situation where we're trying to encourage people not to use gas, but we're dependent upon revenue from selling gas. So I definitely portray this more as this would be a short term fix to a longer term problem, and that's where people have talked about doing a vehicle miles traveled tax or some other sort of a revenue system.
Now, one more question. Jason, you brought up a plethora of issues with your presentation, and one of them is the lack of a transportation policy. My question is, has there ever been a transportation policy, or is it just up for? And if there has, is it, are you talking about renewing it? I mean, it appears that we have a number of issues of this nature, such as not having a true energy policy, transportation policy, and should we be advocating for an appropriate transportation policy?
I would say from the history of the transportation and the federal level, the last time we had a true policy was probably the Interstate Highway Act. It's one of those things now, definitely if someone came up to me on the street and said, what's the goal of the federal government with transportation? I mean, I could tell them a lot of different things, but I don't think I could, in a nutshell, say this is where we're going. So, yeah, I don't really think there is a vision right now at the federal level.
Thank you.
Commissioner Smiles?
Yes, thank you. I was interested to read that the trucking industry and the chambers of commerce have endorsed this notion. I'd be curious to get more information about what they actually endorsed, what was presented to them. I'm surprised that those kinds of industries would endorse an increase of fuel tax.
Yeah, specifically on that slide, what I was referring to was the 10%, or the 10% per gallon fuel tax. I was a little surprised when I read that too, and I guess the trucking industry felt they were... I read one of the reps' quotes saying that he was more concerned about the poor quality of roads and bridges moving forward, and I think there was also some discussion. I mean, most likely they would pass the additional cost on to the consumer as far as what they ship and things like that. So I think that's why they were willing to get on board. And then the Chamber of Commerce, I think their take on it was similar in that they thought they saw enough potential harm to the economy long term if our infrastructure starts to wear out that they thought it was a good idea for that reason. But I could try to get you some more information on what their rationale was, too.
It may be helpful as we would go out and try to communicate this to our constituents that would be helpful to get more information. But speaking of more information, the license fee tax and the piece of the sales tax dedicated to public transit. If we're going to have a discussion about funding for highways, which to most folks is all of the above, roads, bridges, et cetera, shouldn't there also be a discussion about the license tax and fees? For example, when's the last time they were increased? And how are they distributed?
That I don't know, Eric, if you or any more. That issue I'm really not familiar with.
It's all state, isn't it? The license fees, permissive? Anybody? Comments on that?
There was several $5 license plate fees that were generated. The county engineer was requested to have his county commissioners apply for them. If they weren't applied for in a timely manner, other governmental agencies, cities of Taji, could apply and receive that enactment. In Summit County, all of the fees have been are being collected. I can't speak for Portage County. I do know Trumbull County. The county engineer over there, David Cristofaro, went out last year, his first year elected, and sought to have license plate fees increased to the maximum across the entire area. The county commissioners over there put on a ballot to be voted on, but in the meantime, all the secondary agencies, the city of Warren, the city of Hubbard, all went out and enacted their final fees. So it didn't go to the county, it went right back to the locals. So it's a mixed measure of how this thing was enacted. The state legislature enacted the law and put it on fund the county commissioners, basically, to pick and choose if they wanted to enact it or not.
In Portage County, a few years back, we actually imposed a tax, license plate tax. And there was a referendum on the ballot as a result of some very upset people. And it was turned down by the largest measure, 80-20, back off the taxpayers, rejected by the taxpayers. So, and there was a resounding angry sentiment about that whole notion. Still trying to recover from that discussion. But I would suggest that the more information is needed before we actually do a resolution. And number two, if we do get to a resolution point, I would request that instead of a general vote, that we have a roll call vote. because this could become very specific.
Yes.
And that would be appreciated.
I imagine the truckers complain about their kidneys too, so it's probably the one of the best 10 cents. Hey, the state registration and the permissive, that all goes to the state, right? I mean, license plates?
Yeah,
cool. I mean, the feds have nothing to do with our local license plates, do they?
No.
Okay. No. What was the kidney reference?
Okay. I don't know. Jason thought that maybe we ought to have a subcommittee on this, but I'd like to continue to further discussion. If you want to do a subcommittee on this.
I just threw that out there in the sense of if you wanted to have a group that had input on the resolution before you saw one in August, that could potentially be helpful.
That's our next meeting?
Yeah.
I'd say draw up a resolution and pass around and see what people think.
I might suggest only from my perspective because I can't speak for the county executive in this, and since he has no background knowledge on it yet,
yes,
I would expect that I need to discuss this with him before any of us vote on even endorsing a resolution or the idea of a resolution.
Understand.
So I think we need some time for discussion.
It seems like, I mean, this to have this discussion and to come up with a resolution obviously is going to, it's out there a little bit. I think we should do it. I think that, but I do think, following up, I think we need more information. I think there's some other, the picture of the whole fund, even state funding in comparison, some of this other information. I'm the average person too, but I'm not supposed to be the average person when it comes to the knowledge of this, and I have very little working knowledge of this either. So
when we gather all this information, I'd bring it to the next meeting.
And a draft, I think, for discussion without it being a final draft,
right,
and some of this additional information that's requested, I think this is the type of thing we all need to kind of function as a working group,
yes,
rather than a subgroup. So
I've always said that, yes.
Feedback.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what I was saying. This is a...
It's a big issue.
Turn this into a political issue.
Right. Right.
That's true. That's true.
This is bigger than that.
We need to be...
I think we need to do it as a group.
Yeah. Yeah. And then...
So just so I'm clear, what I'm hearing, we'll come to you with a draft resolution and some additional information in August, but we wouldn't be voting on the resolution in August. It would just be, we would treat it as another working session to refine that resolution.
I think we better approach it that way.
Pretty much a workshop on the resolution, so.
Right, I agree.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Want to move the meeting outside? It's the first day we had sun, so. Okay, we'll go to 6A, Resolution 2010-08. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution 2010-08 is attached with 6A.
That's good.
And the MATS work program contains the major products that the MATS staff will carry out through the upcoming fiscal year. The fiscal year begins July 1st, 2010, and then ends on June 30th, 2011, fiscal year of 2011. This work program came to you in January as a draft, which was approved. Once it's approved in draft form, we send it to ODOT as well as FHWA and FTA. We had a staff meeting with them where they gave us some comments back, which were incorporated into the final work program, which now is in front of you for approval. The fiscal year 2011, AMX has a budget of about $1,100,000. These funds have to be matched at a rate of 80-10-10, which is a local funds are a part of that at 10%. Table 2 is an important table. It does show what each member community's dues are in the region. With that, though, the staff does recommend approval of Resolution 2010-08, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about it at this time.
Okay, do we have a motion?
So moved.
And we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any questions? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any say no? Motion passes. Go to resolution, we're at B right now, resolution 2010-09R from Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. The Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, also known as MORPC, which is the MPO down in the Columbus area, has requested trade funds with AMS in the amount of $2.8 million in STP funds. And that would be fiscal year 2010 funds, and then that would be returned to us in 2011, which is July. So it's a very small window of time to be trading funds. They have a project that they'd like to, it's ready to be bid. They don't have the funding, so they'd like to do this trade to make that happen. This resolution has an R on it for revision because originally they requested $4.8 million. They had their TAC meeting and they had, I guess the cost of the project was revised, and now they only need $2.8 million. And this, in the end, this would have no adverse impact on our funding program. Again, those funds would go out essentially tomorrow or the next day, and they'd be returned shortly after the 1st of July. So with that, the staff recommends approval. And also, if you remember on our table, we do have the budget in fiscal year 2010.
We have a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Who made the second? Mr. Paradise. Any discussion or question? All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Okay, Victor, you're on again, 2010-10.
Thank you. Yes, TIP needs to be amended. It's amendment number 40 is several projects. First one is Hilbish Avenue Bridge. Just to provide a little bit of background, if you recall, when we originally funded the stimulus projects, 12 of them, this committee agreed to fund them at 80% of what they requested. But there was not enough stimulus funds to bring them up to that 80% level, so we agreed to shore up the amounts, bring it to 80% with STP funds, which was approximately $700,000. So that shoring up funds all went on one project. It was Hilbish Avenue project in Akron. And so in essence, Hilbish Avenue got less of the originally approved stimulus funds, which was 100% money versus the STP money, which is 80-20 money. So in other words, to help this situation, any return ARRA or stimulus funds that come back to AMS would then go on the Hilbish Avenue project to help them out in their situation. At this point, there's about $40,000 that have been returned because of low bids. But in order to do this, Hilbish Avenue project was already encumbered. And you cannot add additional stimulus funds to a project that's already been encumbered. But as part of that project, there's a bridge within the project limits. It was pulled out of the project and made a separate project with a separate PID. And by doing that, we're now able to sign any return of stimulus funds to the Hilbish Avenue Bridge project, which in essence is the Hilbish Avenue project itself. And then also all the stimulus, for all of the STP funds originally assigned to the original Hilbish Avenue project, were not all needed in that project, so $355,000 of that is also being transferred to the Hilbish Avenue Bridge project. I know that's kind of all hard to follow. There's a lot going on there. But in the end, this project is not getting any more stimulus or STP funds than what was originally approved by this committee for the project. Just as a side note, too, what we've started to do now is provide maps in these amendments for the TIP, and as you can see there, Hilbish Avenue Bridge says map number one, and that shows up on the map that's attached to the memo resolution. The next project is State Route 18 and State Route 93 88 Sidewalk Grant Project. This is in Akron. What it is on these two projects, these are part of ODOT's urban paving program projects where they're doing the pay for the pavement repair or the surface of the resurfacing projects, and where we come in and we help by the communities by paying for 88 sidewalk ramps and payment repair items. Well, this project was created to pull out the ramps from these two projects on State Route 18 and 93 in order for Akron to get better costs. They created this project. So $160,000 in AMF's STP funds go toward the Market Street portion of the project, and $150,000 in STP funds would go toward the Manchester Road or 93 project, totaling $312,000 in AMF's STP funding for 80 sidewalk ramps. The next two projects, State Route 14 and 43, as well as Eagle Street and State Route 93, the amendment is just to move projects into fiscal year 2011 from 2010. And then the last project to mention, State Route 18, this is the resurfacing portion of the West Market Street project. The amendment is to add $7,500 in STP funds for payment repair costs in 2011. And the staff recommends approval.
Okay, could I have a motion for the resolution, please?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
Declare a second. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any say no? The motion passes. We will go to Mr. Baker for resolution 2010-11.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is actually attachment 60, covering two resolutions, resolution 2010-11 and resolution 2010-12. These are both sort of, I wouldn't want to say bureaucratic-type resolutions, but to ensure some of our processes are taking place. First resolution, ODOT requests the AMATS annually reaffirm its approval of the area's regional transportation plan, which is Transportation Outlook, which was approved in last year in May, and our Transportation Improvement Program, and that we affirm the consistency of both these documents with the State Implementation Plan in a single resolution, and that's Resolution 2010-11. Resolution 2010-12 is also attached, and this resolution certifies that the AMATS transportation planning process is being carried out in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. The staff recommends both approval of Resolution 2010-11 and 2010-12. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? I have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Motion passes. Where are we at? Okay. We do have one piece of business, I believe, another business.
I just wanted to do a follow-up. First of all, I really appreciated the discussion on that item. I thought it was excellent. And I just wanted to reiterate, I will get a copy of the slides out to everybody. And if you do have any questions on any of those issues or follow-up, please don't hesitate to give me a call. I'd be glad to talk to you about it, and we'll plan on putting something before you in August.
Thank you, Jason. Yes, Mr. Walker.
I'd like to thank Jacob Jason for initiating this discussion. I find the discussion to be rather limited. It deals basically with the funding problem for the maintenance of an existing infrastructure. That's mainly what we're dealing with, and we've got to deal with that. When I bring this up in the circles of my discussion in the community, I find that there are broader questions that are coming up. Broader questions which have to do with the point that was made about the absence of a national transportation plan. Well, I think the same thing applies to the state of Ohio. We don't have a transportation plan. We have certain assumptions, and these assumptions need to be challenged. And the question is, in what forum are these assumptions challenged? I've been reading, for example, the Brookings studies and the Policy Matters Ohio studies, and these are efforts to think about policy. And they really fundamentally challenge a lot of the assumptions that we're facing here. And the question is, in what forum do we address the challenging of these assumptions? I'm going to quit, but I want to make one more point. I happen to live in the city of Chicago, at the time that the interstate highway system was introduced. And I experienced the devastation of the city of Chicago through the interstate highway system's introduction. Now, there may have been some good things that came out of the interstate highway system, but there was never a forum in which we could challenge the assumptions of the introduction of the interstate highway system. And that's the kind of thing that I think where we are right now. We are at a point where we need to examine the assumptions of our whole transportation system and figure out how we move from where we are to where we want to be. Now, I've blown off my mouth enough, but I thank you for a chance.
No, that's very good. Here. Very good comments. Thank you.
You're here.
Okay, anybody else like to mention? Top? Okay, our next regular meeting is going to be Thursday, August 12th, 1:30 p.m. right here. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Second.
Meeting adjourned. That was good. That's what we want. Except for the kidney joke.